So welcome to week 8 in the Principles and Practices of Prosperity. Congratulations for continuing and being here and for the great work you've been doing. Tonight we are going to discuss what I consider the key principle that determines the level of abundance or the amount of good that we allow into our lives. And that key determining a factor of how much good, of how much love, how much abundance we allow in and allow ourselves to enjoy and experience is all related to our level of self-worth, of how we feel about ourselves, how deserving and worthy we feel. And so what does our worthiness, how does it relate to our level of prosperity, consciousness, or the amount of abundance we experience? Stephen Covey put it beautifully when he said, "A scarcity mentality or an abundance mentality is rooted at the level of our self-worth." And what he was saying is how we feel about ourselves, our level of self-worth really affects how we see ourselves. It affects what we believe. It affects what happens to us. It affects what we do or don't do, what we feel or don't feel, or what we experience or don't experience, or what we have or don't have in our lives. Our worthiness affects all aspects of our beliefs, including our belief in abundance or lack. And so if someone believes that they're not good enough, they're not worthy, they tend to see life like there isn't enough. That there isn't enough for us, that I'm not good. If we don't feel like I'm good enough, we tend to believe there isn't enough. And someone who feels that they are worthy, that they are good enough, tends to realize there is enough in the world for them to receive their good. So the way that we feel about ourselves plays a huge role in how much love we allow ourselves to receive, or how much success, or how much prosperity, or levels of happiness or inner peace or levels of responsibility or greatness. You know, there's a gentleman named Gay Hendricks, and he says that every one of us suffers from a ULP, an upper limit problem, that every one of us in different areas of our lives have a bit of a glass ceiling of how worthy we think we are in that particular area. And so sometimes it is in the area of love that we feel like we can't get more love than we've had, or levels of prosperity. We can't see ourselves experiencing greater levels of financial abundance or success or being in the flow of life. But every one of us has some upper limit problems in some area. Anybody have at least one area in your life where you kind of struggle to break through to some greater level? I mean, it could be money, could be relationships, could be whatever it might be. It could be health, it could be peace of mind or feeling content or meaning. That every one of us has one is because it's right at the level of how worthy we feel. How many people remember the story of the widow's oil? And that, so there's this widow, she lost her husband, the debtors are coming after her, she has two sons, she's nervous, the debtors might take her kids and she'll have nothing. And so he goes to Elisha and says, "So what could I do?" And he says, "So what do you got in your house?" She says, "Well, I got a little bit of oil." "Well, here's what you do, you go to all your neighbors, get as many vessels as you can, then I want you to go in the house, close the door, and start pouring that bit of oil and pour it into those vessels. Keep pouring until all the vessels are filled. Then you can take that oil and you go sell it, pay off your debtors, you'll have enough money for yourself." So she goes and gets all these vessels, goes, closes the door, takes the little bit of oil, starts pouring it. And amazingly, the oil didn't stop flowing till every vessel was full. She sold it, paid off her debt, blah, blah, blah. And the thing I found that was interesting about that was Elisha gave her nothing except advice and said, "Take the little bit of oil that you got already, go get more vessels and keep pouring." And that the oil really represents God's spirit. And the vessels represent our capacity to receive. And that the oil kept flowing and did not stop flowing until all the vessels were filled. And the fact is, life will always fill you with as much as you are willing to receive. Fill your vessel to the size you are able to have the capacity to receive and enjoy. The ocean is there for everyone, and it will fill any vessel, whatever size you want. You can take a cup, and it'll fill it. You could take a bucket, and it'll fill it. You could take a bathtub, it'll fill it. It's there available to us. The question is, how big is your capacity to receive? How large are your vessels? How much are you able to allow in and to receive? You know, Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so in that, it's saying, if it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, it means God isn't withholding anything from us. Nothing is actually holding. So what would be, if God isn't withholding anything from us, what would be the single thing that would stop us from experiencing more love or peace or joy? Yes, it would be our capacity to receive it and let it in. Has anybody ever had a hard time letting enough love in or enough success in or responsibility or greatness? I bet every single one of us has some upper limit in some area of how much we believe we could achieve or attain or can even see ourselves having. And so what we need to do is to begin to work on increasing our upper limit by increasing our level of self-worth, of how worthy we feel. Because when we do feel worthy, we find it much easier to be able to see ourselves being successful and accept greater levels of happiness and success. You know, sometimes when we have more than we think that we deserve at some level, we find a way to sabotage it or run away from it or reject the very thing we want because some part in us says, uh-oh, that's too much. I can't handle that. You know, I remember a couple of times with my brothers, and sometimes it's amazing. I remember we really love each other and stuff, but we would say, oh, I love you so much, blah, 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 blah. And we'd be filled with so much love, we feel awkward. We don't know what to do, so we just punch each other and walk away or tell a stupid joke. We were so overwhelmed to feel that much love. It's like, whoa, what do we do now? You know, I mean, it is amazing. There are people who have had great levels of success, and, you know, they couldn't handle it, and it comes down because at some level, we don't believe we're that good. You know, we don't believe we're that capable. We don't believe we're that great. And that brings us down more than any outer adversity or obstacle. And so the question is, where does this sense of unworthiness and feeling like we're not deserving come from? Where do these feelings of inferiority and feeling like I'm less than or I don't quite measure up, where does this come from? And I think it's from the messages we get as children that sometimes make us feel ashamed or guilty or just not good enough. Religion can sometimes make us feel like we're miserable sinners, unworthy of God's grace. You know, messages in our childhood can be very negative and false about us not being lovable, not good enough. You know, feeling like, we don't quite ever measure up to whoever's expectations, sometimes our parents, sometimes even some self-inflicted ones as well. And so, you know, from all these messages we get, whether it's from culture of a certain look, you don't have that look of what is beautiful or what rich is or successful is, we buy into all these things. And so here's the impact, the eight different ways not feeling worthy affects us. The first one is that we believe that there is something wrong and actually defective about ourselves. And that comes in the forms of us judging ourselves, never being satisfied with who we are. And that we're constantly striving for excellence just to prove that we're good enough. Not because we want to be successful alone, but because we're trying to prove that we're good enough. And if we don't get there, we berate ourselves and beat ourselves up because we don't live up to this standard we have. The second one is that when we don't feel worthy, we have a hard time believing people really love us. Someone could say, I love you, and say, no, you don't. or we find ourselves not trusting that someone loves us because we just don't think at some level that we are lovable. Third one is we put ourselves down. We always say things like, hey, I always screw up, you know, with my luck, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we got all kinds of little personal put downs of ourselves, you know. Another one is we hate and reject parts of ourselves. We hate our eyes, we hate our thighs, our nose. We dislike all parts of ourselves, different ones. Another one is we compare ourselves to other people. You know, as you know, he's got, you know, millions of dollars while I'm just still trying to pay my bills month for month. And a part of that is sometimes we are not happy for other people's success because we figure if they win, I lose, or maybe we feel jealous of other people. Another one is having a hard time receiving. So even though we're struggling, someone say, hey, can I give you a hand? Or can I lend you a few bucks? Or, hey, that you're doing a great... We have a hard time receiving a compliment, receiving help, even though we might need it. There is something in us. And sometimes we tell ourselves it's, well, because I want to be independent, do it myself. I don't want to owe anybody. But, you know, even that, to me, is like a wall of, because we don't feel like we're good enough. We feel like we'd be weak if somebody gave us some help. And then the final one is a sense of anxiety that I will be found out because I'm really not that good. So I have to, like, work extra hard to prove or cover up my shortcomings. So not feeling worthy has a greater impact on us in so, so many ways. And to me, unworthiness is really the result of one thing, and that is that we are disconnected from the truth of who we are, disconnected from God, disconnected from the source. You remember in The Lion King, remember what Simba, Mufasa, the father, said to his son when he tried to run away? He ran away from being a leader. And to help him go back, he said, Simba, remember who you are. And the fact is, we are spiritual giants, but we have spiritual amnesia. We forget who we are. We think of ourselves as so less, so powerless. You know, to think that we should be ashamed of ourselves or feel guilty or unworthy in so many ways that we're not lovable, that we aren't capable. And that's not true. Remember who you are. Scripture tells us clearly that you are a child of God, that you are created in the image and likeness of God, that God's Spirit dwells in you, that you are the light of the world, that you can do all things through God who strengthens you. You know, that if you believe that all things are possible. You know, in 2 Timothy, he said, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. You have an amazing spirit in you. You are wonderfully and uniquely made by God. It is no accident that you're here, that we are spiritual powerhouses who are believing that we're hopeless or helpless or weak or not good enough. And that's just not the truth. That's why Paul said, don't conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've been conditioned to believe that we are less, and we are so much more than we have come to believe and accept who we are. So unworthiness is the result of not connecting with the truth or owning or being at one with the truth of who we are, of our spirit. And that's why, I mean, I love the words, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And you will know the truth of your spiritual magnificence and your beauty and your magnificence and your greatness. And not from a place of arrogance, but just for a fact of owning the truth of who we are. Because then we tend to be more at peace. We tend to be more joyful. We tend to be happier. We tend to be more fulfilled. You know, we tend to be willing to express all of who we are and not hold back or not cover up or try to work to prove or validate ourselves, because we're coming from a more whole and healthy place where we express all that is in us. And the more that we do, the more a bigger channel we become for more light and more joy and more creativity. and more kindness and understanding. You know? When we're unworthy, it constricts that flow and that passage and that vehicle we can be. And when we're unworthy, it actually expands our capacity to receive and to give, to accept and to share, to be a conduit and a channel for more good. And so here's how we do it. The first thing is that we have all had some negative programming in our lives, and it's important for us to begin to identify those by paying attention, by being more aware of looking at the areas where we seem to struggle. Look at the areas where we seem to sabotage our own success and happiness. And whether that's in areas of love and relationship or levels of financial success or whatever it is, we need to pay attention. Eckhart Tolle said the very first step of change and transformation, improving our life, is awareness. We need to be aware of what it is that needs to be changed. What is it that isn't working? What is it? What area is it that we're struggling or feel a bit closed off in? And so being aware takes time and it takes practice. It takes honesty and self-awareness. Sometimes it's hard to admit, you know, that we feel shame or we feel like we're not good enough or that we're not lovable. But we need to be honest with ourselves if we want to heal and transform it. We need to be aware of the thing we need to be healed and to release. So let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is feeling whole, complete, and lacking in nothing, feeling totally worthy. Tell me on a scale of 1 to 10 in these areas. In levels of love and feeling fulfilled in a loving relationship, receiving the love you want, you know, how worthy are you feeling on a scale of 1 to 10? In terms of the level of career success, how worthy are you feeling in that area? In the area of your financial wealth and financial prosperity, how worthy are you feeling? In terms of the level of peace of mind and happiness, how worthy are you feeling? In terms of feeling a total spiritual connection and a oneness with God, how worthy are you feeling? And so what we're going to do is spend a couple of minutes right now writing down what are the areas in your life that you don't feel worthy of? What are the areas in your life do you struggle finding success or have a hard time receiving? Now, in my experience, for myself, I found three things that I found myself having a hard time, and that is feeling worthy of being truly loved. I felt not good enough that I always had to prove myself. Prove that I could do it, that I wasn't going to let these things stop me. I had to work extra hard to show that I could do it. Even though it was to me, it was in there because I didn't feel as whole. And then the third one is there was a part of me that felt afraid of success. That was I good enough to really achieve it, and was I good enough to really handle it? And so I want you to look deep. And even if it doesn't come now in these few minutes, open that space to see what are the areas where you struggle and don't feel quite worthy or deserving or capable. So let's do that for a few minutes. Okay. Continue writing if you need to. The importance about awareness is that when we are aware of something, it tends to have less grip on us because we know the thing that we want to heal. The key about awareness is to be aware of the stuff we have without blaming or shaming or beating up ourselves about it. It's a part of the human condition experience. We all have stuff. So let's not add any negative energy to it by judging or beating ourselves up about it. Recognition of it, just being aware. I struggle with self-worth. Or I struggle with allowing more love into my life. Or I struggle with, you know, feeling I'm worthy of greater success or more responsibility or money or whatever it is. Just own it and in an aware of awareness, but not shaming, blaming, or berating ourselves. The next one is to find acceptance of ourselves, who we are, and how we are. Anybody remember the movie Amadeus? Well, this was this movie about Mozart, and it was kind of fictional, but it was kind of real. And there was this guy named Salieri, who was a court composer, I think in Austria or someplace. Anyway, he wanted to be great, but Mozart was like the rock star. He was a little brat, he was immature, but he was a genius at writing music. And Salieri, in the movie, would go and see him and admire his work and wish and pray to the gods that he could be as great as Amadeus, as Mozart. And so he tried and tried, and he did good things, but he wasn't Mozart. And for his whole life, he hated and loved and admired Mozart at the same time. He hated himself, wishing he could have been Mozart. And so, at the end, you know, he wasn't able to appreciate the talent he had, and he was very talented. He did a lot of great things, but he spent so much time comparing, so much time judging himself and thinking he wasn't as good enough. He couldn't accept who he was and the gifts that he had because he measured it by this very difficult yardstick. And he robbed himself of joy and fulfillment and all of the good things that could have happened by him just realizing he was who he was, by accepting that his talent was his talent. It was unique and great and didn't need to be compared to anybody else's. And so I think sometimes in our own lives we spend time rejecting and not liking part of ourselves, not smart enough, not tall enough, not good looking enough, not this and that enough. Or, you know, I don't have as much as so-and-so, therefore I'm a failure. And we rob ourselves of joy and happiness and success and feeling proud of our contributions and the difference we make and the things that we add to the world and people's lives and our family. You know, by comparing ourselves and not accepting that this is the form that God brought me in. This is the gifts and the talents that God got me. And I remember I spent years thinking, because I'm a little bit goofy and a little animated at times. I know I seem calm and cool to you guys, but and I would think, I was just kidding on that, I was like, I wish I was more serious and stoic and manly. And it's like, no, man, this is how you came out. So just be that way. Because that's the best gift we have to offer the world, is our uniqueness. Because God didn't make anybody just like us. So that's the thing we have to offer. And sometimes we want to be afraid of our uniqueness and try and be like somebody else. Think of some image we think we should act like, but it's like, no, be your version of that. Somebody once said, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. And the fact is, that's the best thing you can do, is be you. And the only way you can be you is to accept yourself just the way you are, just the way God made you. Accept your body, accept your personality, you know, express your talents, your interests, your uniqueness. You know, every one of us came to deliver a gift to the world, and we're the only ones that can deliver it. And the only way is to do that is to be yourself. And the only way to be yourself is to accept yourself. Acceptance is making peace with yourself. It's acknowledging and accepting and celebrating who you are and how you are. Acceptance is a powerful thing. You know, there's a wonderful passage in 400 and page 417 in AA's big book that says that acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. That if I find something wrong or objectionable about life or circumstance or people, it's because I find something unacceptable. And the only thing that can heal that is me finding acceptance right where I am. And so the question I sometimes ask is, if your life didn't change at all the way it is right now, could you find peace and acceptance and happiness with your life just the way you are today and just the way your life is today? And I think the answer for all of us, if we're honest, would be yeah. if we're more accepting that this is who we are, this is a great life and a beautiful day, and I get to be me, and I'll be the best I can be, I think we could be happy if nothing changed. And the truth is, the best way to make change is actually to find peace instead of fighting against it, and then still have an intention to get better. So what do you need to make peace with? What thing are you having a hard time accepting about you? And are you willing to set an intention and open a prayer to Spirit to find peace and make peace with those areas of our lives? I love it in Scripture when it says, blessed are the peacemakers. And I used to think it was blessing are people who help people who are conflicting have peace, neighborhoods, communities. But I think it's blessed are those who can make peace in themselves. Because then, when we make peace with ourselves, everything's possible. Because it takes a lot of energy to have inner turmoil and hate yourself and not accept yourself. And we could invest that energy in a lot more profitable and enjoyable things. So spend a minute or so just writing down the areas that you would like to find some acceptance in and make peace with in your life about yourself. And so what I'd like you to do with your list is do a little affirmation thing, kind of using the line, I love myself just the way I am. And so let's do that together. I love myself just the way I am. Let's say that together, everybody. I love myself just the way I am. Or how about I love and accept myself just the way I am together. I love and accept myself just the way I am. Take a deep breath into that. And so what I want you to do is work with your list, and whatever your thing you're having trouble is, just use that affirmation like, I love my body just the way it is. I love and accept my body just the way it is. Or I love and accept my personality just the way it is. Or I love and whatever you're struggling with accepting, use that little affirmation. I love and accept myself just the way I am. Or I love and accept myself or my face just the way it is. Because one of the things is we have, as human beings, have this idea that if I accept, it means I'm settling. Or if it accepts, I mean I'm giving up. And it doesn't. It means I'm making peace with reality as the way it is right now. It doesn't mean you can't have a desire to improve or be better in that area. But it's to love yourself even if you're not at your best. So like if you messed up on something, it's I love myself, I love and accept myself even with the mistakes I've made. I love and accept myself, just the way my body is. I love and accept myself, the way my finances are. It is about finding a peace and acceptance with reality as it is today. It does not mean that you necessarily give up or can't have a desire for it to improve. Does that make sense? Because sometimes acceptance is a word that sometimes... And surrender is another word that sometimes we kind of struggle that we think they both mean giving up or settling. They don't mean that. They just mean letting go of the unhealthy energy and resistance that we can sometimes create about certain things. All right, let's go to the next one, and that is appreciating ourselves. We're so often so hard on ourselves, we're not only not always gentle, but sometimes I don't think we appreciate ourselves, appreciate our uniqueness, or acknowledge how good we are in certain areas of our lives. And so here's a poem I heard about years ago that I just love, and it's called Time Somebody Told Me. Time somebody told me that I'm lovely, good, and real, that my beauty could make hearts stand still. Time somebody told me that my love is so complete, that my mind is quick and full of wit, that my loving is just too good to quit. Time somebody told me. Time somebody told me how much they want, love, and need me, how much my spirit helps set them free, how my eyes shine full of white light, and how good it feels just to hold me tight. Time somebody told me. So I had to talk with myself, just me, nobody else, because it was time somebody told me. And I think the most important person to tell ourselves that we are wonderful, that we are good, that we are talented, is ourselves. Because I think we are sometimes the person who says it the least. That we acknowledge ourselves sometimes the least and sometimes don't value and appreciate all the unique and wonderful things about ourselves. So, since it's time somebody told you, I want you to now tell yourself 20 things that you love and appreciate about you. 20 things that you like, love, and appreciate about you. The class will not start back until you have all written 20 things you like, love, and appreciate about you. So you can keep writing. How many people, anybody reach 20? Oh, fantastic. That's beautiful. Good. All right. 17. 40. All right, I'm impressed. I'm going to copy off your paper later if I was there. That's good. Congratulations. And a part of the work this week is, of course, to revisit this every day and add to your list about what you love and appreciate about you. The next one is using the power of affirmations. Everybody knows that my favorite affirmation is, each and every day and each and every way, my life is getting better and better and better. That's an affirmation that was developed by the French psychologist and pharmacist Emile Coué. And what he did was, when people weren't well, besides giving them whatever medication they had from the pharmacy, he would say, take two of these and also say, every day and every way, my life is getting better. That was the original, and I guess translation from French, every day and every way, my life's getting better. And he believed that, and he was one of the leaders of this idea of what is called auto-suggestion, that we could reprogram our thinking and our minds by speaking words to ourselves of things that we want to be true, of things that we want to expand and experience and create in our lives, what we want to become. And so he believed that you could reprogram your subconscious by saying these things. And so, you know, I just expanded it a little bit by saying, I figure one better is good, three better is even better. So better and better and better. It makes me smile. And that's the thing about affirmations, as I've mentioned. It's about making yourself feel good. But because it's not just the word, and that one doesn't have to work for you. It's what words of you speaking will make you kind of light up and feel excited about a direction you want your life to move in. And so so let's do the first thing. Everybody just kind of repeat after me, because I'm going to use these affirmations by trying to create a sense of worthiness and programming in our head. So I deserve a life of peace, love, happiness, and fulfillment together. I deserve a life of peace, love, happiness, and fulfillment. I deserve radiant health, energy, and vitality together. I deserve radiant health, energy, and vitality. I deserve to have all my dreams come true together. I deserve to have all my dreams come true. I deserve to have prosperity and ease in all my financial affairs together. I deserve to have prosperity and ease in all my financial affairs. I am worthy of a deeply loving relationship together. I am worthy of a deeply loving relationship. I am worthy of a fulfilling and meaningful career. I am worthy of a meaningful and fulfilling career. I am worthy of feeling a deeper spiritual connection and feeling the presence of God. That's a little awkward, but let's say it anyway. I am worthy of feeling a deeper spiritual connection and feeling God's presence. And so it's whatever it is we want to say. I'm worthy of having a joyful life. I'm worthy of earning a six-figure income. I'm worthy of greater responsibility. I'm worthy of being the top salesperson. I'm worthy of improving my golf game. I'm worthy of whatever it is you want to be. Is use your affirmation to not only affirm the thing, but affirm your worthiness. Affirm that you are deserving of those things. I should share those with you in an email. Is that all agreed? Okay. You are very welcome. And then here's the other one, is to do your affirmations in front of the mirror, looking at yourself in the eye. Initially, you will feel extremely self-conscious and awkward looking at yourself, but say the things that you want to be true for you, that I am lovable, that I am worthy, that I'm successful, that I'm prosperous, any of the things you want to affirm, try it looking at yourself in the mirror. And I'll guarantee you, initially you will feel weird and awkward and goofy. But if you keep at it, I guarantee you it'll be like talking to your soul. Just look at yourself in your own eyes and speak the words of truth to yourself. It'll be an interesting, different dimension and dynamic, but I guarantee you it will be a powerful experience. And if you keep at it and keep at it, it will be powerful. Just looking at yourself just before you or after you brush your teeth or wash your face at night, you'll usually do that in front of a mirror, so why not just take a moment or two, just even for a minute, of saying affirming things, just looking right into your eyes. You may laugh and feel goofy at first, but it's worth the journey to keep going. The final one is about aligning ourselves with God and aligning ourselves in God's love. I don't know if you ever saw that little video we show with when Oprah was interviewing Maya Angelou. And she was reading one of the Unity books called Lessons in Truth. And she's saying the thing that changed her life was when her Unity minister, Frederick Wilkerson, had her read a line in the book Lessons in Truth. And the line was, God loves me. And so he said, say it again. She said, God loves me. Again, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. To the point that she began to weep. Because it was a concept she never really fully took in, because some of the things we hear about God punishing and so on and so forth. And as we don't believe that God really loves us. And so one of the things for us to truly feel worthy is to immerse ourselves and align ourselves in the truth that God loves us. That we have been created in the image and likeness of God. And if God is love, it means we've been created in the image and likeness of love. That we are a creation of love. That we are an expression of love. And that we are love. We're here to love, to be love, to express love, to share love. And so let's do a little meditation on this. So everybody just close your eyes and take a deep breath and say those amazing words of truth, half voice. God loves me. So let's say it together. God loves me. Again. God loves me. Again. God loves me. One more time. God loves me. Take a deep breath. And just open your heart and your mind to that truth that God loves you. God loves me. That God loves me. And as if you were standing under a waterfall, let God's love just wash over you. And let it just cleanse and refresh and renew you from all the false beliefs. Just washing those things away to feel a sense of peace. To feel how loved you really are. That God in the universe loved you so much that God brought you into this life experience. Created you uniquely and wonderfully. With gifts and talents and beauty and ability that no one else in the world has. That you are God's beloved child in whom God is well pleased. Knowing that there's nothing you need to do to gain God's love or attain it, because God loves you completely and unconditionally right here and now. Right in this moment and every moment, God's love is within you and all around you. You are made in the image and likeness of love. You are an expression of God's love. I am an expression of God's love. Half voice together. I am an expression of God's love. Deep breath. Again, I am an expression of God's love. Deep breath. One more time. I am an expression of God's love. Deep breath. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Again, let those words and the power of God's love just wash over you, washing away any illusions and false beliefs to get back to the truth of who you are, an amazingly beautiful spirit of God, a child of God. that is so worthy of love, that is so worthy of happiness and peace and success, worthy of all the good that God has prepared for you. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Deep breath. And see how much more love you can just let in and open into your heart to realize how worthy and deserving you are of the very best that life and God has to offer you. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. So one more time, just take a deep breath and expand your capacity for love. Expand your capacity to know how loving and lovable you are. Feel a smile on your face as you deepen your experience of love. And expand your capacity to feel worthy and deserving of the amazing blessings and the amazing life and the amazing person that God has called you here to be. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. And so it is. Amen. So I really believe that how worthy we feel, how deserving we feel, is really the key determiner of how much love, how much abundance, how much goodness we allow, enjoy, experience, and can actually give and allow to flow through us into our relationships, into our work, into our life, into our world. So, keep loving yourself, keep doing this great work, because it's powerful and it's important, that it really is the thing that opens us to be a greater channel for light and love and all of God's abundance. God bless you. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Hearing none, let's do our practice of giving, our practice of tithing, keeping the circulation and flow of good increasing in our lives and in our world. And so, prepare your gift, your tithe, and let us take a moment of prayer just to rejoice in this wonderful sacred activity of giving. It is a powerful spiritual practice. As Jesus said, as we give, so too shall we receive. So everyone, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and expand your heart and your mind in a feeling of gratitude and appreciation for your great life, for being who you are, and for experiencing all of God's abundance and God's love, and all the rich and wonderful experiences of your life. How blessed we are. From the beauty of the sunrise and the sunset to the wonderful warm weather we're experiencing and the power and the majestic magnificence of the mountains. I mean, there's so many things to be thankful for our family and our friends, for this amazing spiritual community, for the powerful teachings of unity, for one another that we have to support each other on this spiritual journey. There are so many things to be thankful for. Deep breath, everyone. Feel how light and joyful your heart is to be thankful for this great, for all these great gifts. And we give thanks for the gift we're holding in our hand, because it's really a fraction of the abundant and blessings that we receive that come to us and through us from God. And as we practice this joyful spiritual ritual of giving, we know that we are not only blessing this ministry to keep doing the great work we're doing, but it creates a circulation that increases the flow of good in our lives, but also the flow of good in our world, in our community. I give freely, joyously, and gratefully together. I give freely, joyously, and gratefully. Deep breath. Feel how good it feels to give. And God loves not only a cheerful giver, but a joyful receiver. So let's expand our capacity to receive by affirming, and I receive freely, joyously, and gratefully. Deep breath. oh, okay, we better say it. And I receive really joyously and gratefully, big smile on your face, as we expand our capacity to receive. So we give thanks for all the good in our lives and all good still to come. Amen.